maybe one of the most evocative lines in all of the New Testament. In fact, in all of the Bible, for that matter, is the line, "He must increase and I must decrease." If we were to condense all of Christian spirituality down into one focused instruction, this might be it. He must increase and I must decrease. Today we celebrate John the Baptist. Well, actually, we celebrate the birth of John the Baptist, something that almost never happens on a Sunday in the liturgical calendar. Usually, if a saint's feast day falls on a Sunday, the 12th Sunday of ordinary time, the first Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday of Easter, if this happens, then the saint's day is passed over, and we wait another year to remember his or her example of holiness. But today is different, because John the Baptist, as we all know, is different. He's an extreme character who not only calls us to make a change in our lives, but more fittingly, he first calls himself to make a change in his life. Anyone who wants to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ has to proclaim that gospel first to him or herself before presuming to preach to others. John the Baptist did this, and his preaching to himself started with, "He must increase and I must decrease." I'd like us to lean into this idea, "He must increase and I must decrease." Let's lean into that for our reflection this morning. Of course, there was a practical reason why John said this. People had been flocking to him for baptism and to hear a message that would move their hearts. They thought he was, and they wanted him to be, the Messiah. He could have easily bought right into their accolades. He could have claimed to be a Messiah. Instead, he told them quite deliberately, "I am not him. I am not the one. He is the one. There he is, the Lamb of God." So this line, "He must increase and I must decrease," it had a practical application for the people who heard it. But since then, "He must increase and I must decrease" has echoed down the centuries as a charge that any Christian must at some point embrace if he or she wants to get serious about their faith. John the Baptist was really an Old Testament guy stuck in the New Testament. He recognized the Messiah, and yet he was not destined to see salvation achieved. He was martyred before the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. Jesus himself says of his cousin, "The greatest man ever born of a woman, and yet he is less than the least of you people here, because the kingdom of heaven is for you and not for him." This was cousin John. This is what John the Baptist is all about. His very life would bear out what he proclaimed out loud. "He must increase and I must decrease." This kind of life, to live a life with that as sort of your moniker, this kind of spirituality, it's the deep end of the pool for sure. John the Baptist was the first in a long line of spiritual giants who would grapple with the darkness and the light. You ever notice? Those who draw themselves closest to the light always find themselves grappling with darkness. It's very true in our own lives. Think about your life. Maybe when you first had a real conversion to spirituality, to Christianity, you were just on fire with it. And then you started going to Mass all the time. Maybe you started going to daily Mass. You prayed all the time. And then something happens. The closer you get, the more distant you feel. like an Impressionism painting. You stand back 30 feet from the Impressionism painting, it makes perfect sense. You go right up next to it, and it doesn't make any sense at all. It's just a wash of colors. This is how it is with God. The closer we get to the light, the more blinded we become by the light. This is what I mean when I say that those who draw themselves closest to the light often find themselves grappling with darkness. Meister Eckhart, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Therese of Lisieux, Maximilian Kolbe, Edith Stein, Teresa of Calcutta, Thomas Merton, Stanley Rother, St. Paul, really, and of course, John the Baptist. They were mystics. A mystic is someone able to see the light precisely because they are immersed in darkness. This is a really important note. A mystic can see the light of Christ because the mystic is aware of the darkness. It's counterintuitive, I know, but so many spiritual masters have come to see that this is the way to holiness. Oftentimes, when I'm visiting with a struggling person, they've lost their faith, maybe. They come to me, they say, "Father, I don't believe anymore." Or their children have lost their faith. Or their marriage is broken and careening down the road to sure divorce. Or they're out of work and they can't find work. Or the doctor just told them that they have cancer. And they tell me, "I'm totally lost and I'm in the dark. What do I do?" And I say, "Nothing. You are actually right where you need to be. You have arrived. The darkness is where the light will shine the brightest." This is what John the Baptist and his life is all about. "Make straight the paths," he says. "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand now." You see, holiness, closeness to God, mature spiritual breakthroughs are rarely about the pretty things along the way. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual breakthrough, when you come to know the Lord through spiritual breakthrough, it's not very often a result of the pretty things along the way, as wonderful as they are. I mean, we know this in our own parish, St. Louis. Most parishes don't have liturgy as beautiful as ours, or music as beautiful as ours, or vestments, or liturgical paraments, or a chapel, or the gardens around us. We must not miss this point. What we seek from God rarely comes to us out of sentimental, feel-good, safe, predictable, easy religion. See, this is the problem with big box prosperity gospel churches. They preach that if you pray hard enough, it's going to be wonderful. But that wasn't John the Baptist's life. And he is arguably the most important prophet of all time. Think about life. Think about your life and the things that have marked pivotal moments of spiritual renewal. They almost always, when you look back on them, involve spiritual darkness. Moments of unsurety, times of anxiety and unsettledness, periods where maybe you don't feel the presence of God at all. These are always, when we look back on them, the most fruitful times of our faith. It's not about the quantity of your faith. It's about the quality of your faith. What is the quality of your faith? Is your faith such that if you were called to be John the Baptist, you would happily go right into prison and be ready for the beheading? Would you be ready for that? This is the quality of your faith as opposed to the quantity of your faith. Pope Benedict is fond of explaining about John the Baptist, that he went to the desert precisely because there's nothing there that can take place of God. The desert is so important I mean, we kind of bandy that about, right? Where, how are you doing these days? Oh, I'm in the desert. Great. That's a perfect place to be because there's nothing else there but God. This is the point of John the Baptist, and this is the point of the desert, and this is the point of he must increase and I must decrease. People think of Teresa of Calcutta's desolation of 30 years. When she wrote her book and she talked about being in desolation for 30 years, people say, oh, that's so sad. They see John of the Cross's dark night of the soul as something they would never want for themselves. They see Thomas Merton's seeming obsession with his nothingness as a sign that he needed psychiatric help. No, it's just the opposite. To embrace the dark moments of life presents each of us with the opportunity to open the aperture of our souls through which the most light will be able to come through. This is what John the Baptist is all about. This is what you and I are called to in mature spirituality. This is real spirituality rather than play spirituality. Many of us have become fond of Bishop Robert Barron. I think he might be the most thoughtful spiritual mind of our time. He's very good at bringing abstract truths about God into our everyday experience. And he understands this charge that John gives himself and you and me. He must increase, and I must decrease. Bishop Barron explains, the most important step in the spiritual life is simple. You must see your life not as your own project, but God's project. This is what it's all about. This is what he must increase and I must decrease means, that you no longer see that your life is yours. Your life is God's, and he places you here for a particular reason. This is what John the Baptist did. This is the point of John the Baptist, because you notice, as soon as John the Baptist does what he is placed here to do, what happens to him? It's not like he hangs out with the apostles for 3 years. No, he melts back into history, and we never hear of him again. This is the humility. This is the extreme humility that God calls each one of us to. This is what he must increase and we must decrease is all about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.